Turn to Psalm 107 today. And it's a summons to us all to give thanks. Verse 1, if perhaps you might turn with me in your church Bibles, it's page 610, Psalm 107. Verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Who should give thanks? Verse 2 tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those who he redeemed from the hand of the foe. It is those who are redeemed who should give thanks to God. We gather here Sunday by Sunday, not just because we feel like it or that it helps us, though I hope that these things are true, but more than that, because God's word calls us to gather here to give thanks to him. I think I mentioned before my friend David Torrance, who preached me in here 5.5 years ago nearly, told me about a lady in his congregation. She was a church member, but careless about attending church. And he heard one day that she'd got a slipped disc. He visited her and found her lying on a board in her home. And she confessed to him, I've been very careless about coming to church. I go to bed very late on Saturday night, and I can't get up on Sunday morning. I know this is wrong. David Torrance prayed with her for healing of her slipped disc, and then he left. It was a Tuesday. A week later, he heard that she was now in hospital. So he went to visit her in hospital. Why are you in hospital now? He said. She said to him, after you prayed with me, I was healed, wonderfully healed. I got up and was completely well. And I knew that on Sunday I must go to church, but on Saturday night I went to bed very late, and I missed church, and on Monday my disc slipped again, and I was far worse than before, and here I am in hospital. I've got to be under traction for many, many weeks. So David Torrance prayed again with her in the hospital and then left. A few days later, it was Sunday, and there she was with her husband sitting in the front of the church, healed again. After he prayed with her in hospital, she was healed again, against all expectation, and this time she came back to church. Now, I'm not saying that's how God deals with all of us. He has his own ways with each one of us, and we mustn't interpret every illness or ache or pain as somehow his work in us. But that's how he worked in that particular lady. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We all need to be redeemed, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And Christ is our redemption. And this marvellous psalm, which we read together, gives us four vivid pictures of our human condition. And each of these pictures, these sections, ends with the refrain, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He delivered them. Let them give thanks to the Lord. And in these four pictures, man is described as a wanderer, a prisoner, a sufferer, and a voyager. And our hymns this evening have reflected those four headings. A wanderer, first of all, verse 4 to 9. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. A wanderer. Cain, after he had killed Abel, was banished from his spiritual home by God. And we read in Genesis 4, verse 13 and 14, Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Today, man is lost like a wanderer. All we like sheep have gone astray. Many people in our world live their lives in an aimless way, flitting from this to that, looking for happiness here and there, but still hungry and thirsty for what life is really about. Not knowing where they came from or where they're going to. You know, scientists keep changing their minds about our ancestry. Some tell us that we're descended from apes, others don't agree with them. Richard Dawkins, that militant atheist, was giving lectures to young people on the TV this Christmas time. I don't know whether you saw him, describing how we're all descended from fish that came out of the sea and became reptiles. Why should man be bothered with such knowledge? It's because he's restless. He knows he's wandering. He wants to know, from where did I come? And Richard Dawkins is absolutely determined that as many people as possible will believe that we're descended from jellyfish. I don't believe it myself. I believe there is no evidence at all for it. I believe that the evidence is all against it. But his determination to try to prove where we came from, that we didn't come from God, the Creator, is just an illustration of the restless wandering of man. The space program, which the Americans and ourselves and the Russians spent so much money on, is another example of our restless quest to find out what we are and what is the universe. Now, there's nothing wrong with the space program. I personally am interested in what is the universe. A lot of scientists are studying the universe because they really want to know, what is man? Where did we come from? I'm fascinated by it because I find that the more it advances, the more it confirms what I already believe through the Bible. And then there are those people who are not interested in science, but they are interested in superstition. And they spend money on fortune tellers, astrologers, and spiritualists. They travel to the East to consult the Hindu philosophers. And that's another example of our restless wandering. Others research world religions, and they write books on them. And then we had a television series a few years ago all about our quest as human beings. What are we and where do we come from? They're all signs that we don't know where we come from and we're lost. So often these searching for where we come from will not find an answer unless we simply call upon God, admit we're in trouble, and that we need him personally. That's the only way we find an answer to our quest. So verse 6 says, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And then verse 7, he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. The straight way to the city reminds us of those words which we read from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. If I can find it, here we are. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly. Our Lord came to seek and to save that which is lost, to lead us in the straight way which leads to life. That is a way that is honest, clear, and sincere. What was the condition of the wanderers before they called upon the Lord? In verse 5 we read they were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Hungry. Our Lord said, I am the bread of life. They were thirsty. Our Lord said, whoever is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. They were exhausted. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I wonder, are any of us here this evening merely wanderers upon the face of the earth, not knowing where we came from, or what our life is all about, or what our destiny is? This psalm fits us and tells us the way home. The second picture of human condition is a prisoner. We as human beings are prisoners through disobedience and sin. So verse 10 onwards we read, some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. He subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, etc. The human race are not just wanderers going astray. We have been rebellious and disobedient. We have broken the commandments of God, and as a result, have dug a pit for ourselves. Verse 11 says, we've despised the counsel of God. How true that is for our modern world and indeed all generations, isn't it? And has it not been true in some degree or other for every one of us as individuals? Are any of us today living in disobedience? And once we have become disobedient, we soon become prisoners of that disobedience, and we can't seem to escape. Verse 10 says it's like living in a pit of gloom and darkness. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, he who sins is a prisoner to sin. He can't escape from it. And then he says, he who the Son of God sets free is free indeed. The Son of God brings us from slavery to sin to be the children of God. So what should we do if we find ourselves in that condition through our own fault? Verse 13 and 14, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. He saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and gloom and broke away their chains. The third picture of the human condition is of a sufferer. Verse 17 onwards, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord, etc. We human beings inflict so much suffering upon ourselves. Have you been watching the TV pictures of Georgia, Liberia, Yugoslavia, Somalia? Have you been hearing of diseases which we as a society, through our rejection of God, have brought upon ourselves? So much disease and hunger, famine in the world is unnecessary. It is so foolish. Maybe some of us have suffered unnecessarily through our own fault. What must we do? Verse 19, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word. The coming of Christ into the world is described in the Bible as the coming of God's word, who was made flesh. Our Lord lived among us. And to the woman caught in adultery, about to be stoned to death, he said, I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more. To the paralytic, he said, thy sins are forgiven thee. Entering into our sufferings, he bore it in his own body. And his word is the way of our healing. Nothing magical, but his word, mediating his presence to us. And the last picture in this psalm is of man as a voyager. Verse 23 onwards, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered. They were at their wits' end. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Remember, in the New Testament, our Lord said, peace, be still, to the storm. So, when we read about this voyage, we read at first that the journey goes well, and then comes a sudden squall. And for each of us, we've known good and calm times in our lives, and then the sudden storms. And these verses emphasize our helplessness and littleness in the face of the raging ocean. Again, what must we do? Verse 28. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. So here we have four pictures of our condition. We are wanderers, prisoners, sufferers, and voyagers. The next verses in the psalm speak of a God who turns things round. In verse 33 it says, he turns rivers to a desert, a fruitful land to a salt waste. That's his judgment upon our wickedness. That's what happened to the promised land when God judged the people of Israel and scattered them to the ends of the earth. The land they left behind became a wilderness and a waste. The Bible says it would remain a wilderness and a waste until they come back. And then verse 35, we read he does the reverse. He turns the desert into pools of water. Verse 36, those who are hungry find a fertile land and a city. Again, we see that in the history of the promised land, in the Holy Land. God has done both those things dramatically, fulfilling his prophecies. It's a picture of his dealings with all the world. So God reverses the course of events. Remember in Mary's song, before she gave birth to Christ, she says, he has brought down rulers and lifted up the humble. The whole purpose of Christ's coming is to put into reverse the course of human history. As in Adam all die, so in Christ all are made alive. Just as the wanderer goes into the far country, so Jesus came from heaven to earth, to seek and to save that which is lost. And he said of himself, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So he took our wandering condition to himself. Secondly, just as the rebel went out into the dungeon of his own sin, so Jesus, bearing the sins of the world, suffered and died and entered the very hell of our human existence upon the cross. And thirdly, just as the foolish brought suffering upon themselves, so Jesus took our suffering to himself. He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. He reversed death to life in his resurrection from the dead. He is our redemption. In order to take us to heaven, the New Jerusalem, the home where we belong. And so the Lord himself is the voyager who has gone before us, the author and finisher of our faith. So we must cry to God in our trouble, and then fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and is now sat down at the right hand of God. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you have looked upon the earth and seen our wanderings, our sins, our sufferings, and our journeyings in this world. And you have identified yourself with our humanity, that we might be brought back to you, to our true home, to our true haven. So, Lord, with that hope, may we dedicate our lives to thee afresh at the beginning of this new year, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.